Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend eve, everyone. It's Thursday. Time to enjoy some Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment conversations. You certainly enjoyed comedy this past weekend, as Snow Jam Comedy Festival was a huge success. That wasn't all that was enjoyed. Many other shows, lots of music going on, lots of theater, also sold out. Thankfully, for this time of year, it was certainly a decent weekend of weather, especially when compared to the blizzard from the previous weekend. I think a lot of you were ready to break the cabin fever. I know I certainly was. In fact, most of the non-paid staff here at the Dave Holly Hour went to Goodnight Theater's Guilty Pleasures Cabaret. That group continues to knock it out of the park, which is probably why their next production in March, they've got four dates, two of them already sold out. I hosted trivia at the Sky Lounge and Tea Friday night. Then we took in Improv Falls Booze Line Show on Saturday night. Now, if you've missed some previous episodes, the voice that introduces me in the show open is that of Zach Dresch. We've talked about him and also interviewed him. He's one of the cast of Improv Falls. And besides a handful of other things in the entertainment world, he's also a stand-up comedian. Now, part of his host duties with Improv Falls, and as well as being in the skits and scenes and so forth, typically he does a short stand-up set before the improv begins. This latest set, Zach, outstanding, capital letters, exclamation points, etc. So that's what most of us did, but we did have a lone staff member take in pretty much the entire Snow Jam, including volunteering at a show or two. So we don't just talk about the arts, we don't just go out and view it, we like to get involved in it as well. Our honorable mention this week goes to one of our most consistent listeners, that also happens to be one of our sponsors, Dr. Perry Langston from XL Chiropractic. He was telling me how much he appreciated one of the conversations on last week's show. I'm paraphrasing here, but he said of the show, "It's like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two interesting people." Thanks, Doc. Appreciate that. A nice little compliment there. Speaking of conversations, this week's conversations include an old radio pal, Mike Henriksen. We talk about the correlation between sports and entertainment. And a lady that truly has fun on stage and also has a really neat new venture to tell you about, Pam Hoffman. We'll hear from her next on the Dave Holly Hour. Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's a bit flirtatious, but most of all, fun. Here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. It is such a pleasure to have you along on the Dave Holly Hour. And I tell you what, it is such a pleasure to have this gal as my guest today. Pam Hoffman, it is so fun to have you because I have seen you have so much fun on stage in the different bands and groups that you're involved in, and we'll get to all of them and talk about that. But first of all, just thanks for being along with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And tell me, what got you interested in the whole music thing?
Oh my goodness, my mom and dad had my brother Bill Hoffman and I singing, starting out in church when we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Three and a half and 5 years old. And
wow, that is young.
And Yeah, six, yeah.
You know, sometimes we hear that people say, oh, like 7 or 8 years old, 3 and a half.
Yeah.
Now, is he older?
Oh, yes, my brother's older.
You get to rub that in, huh?
Yeah, he'll always be older.
Yeah, and quite a talented man himself as the drummer for the Mogan's Heroes.
Yes, and right. He was the founder for 18 years of Velvet Touch.
Yeah.
Band and Black Velvet Band, so, yeah.
So they started you off early, and at what point then did it progress to Pam going, Mom, Dad, is it okay if I be in a band or anything?
I never actually was. And my brother always would want me to be in his bands, but I was gone at college, and so I never really could. And then I was married with kids, and I certainly didn't want to do that. Then I was single with kids, and I didn't want to leave them home alone and be gone on the weekends. But, boy, I would have been having a lot of fun, because I sure am now.
Yes,
now
you are.
Now they're grown, and Mom's in bands, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and having a great time. And you also happen to carry. Now, I've not seen you play, quote-unquote, an instrument, so, like, if I go to see you, I'm not going to see you at the keyboards, you're not going to be playing drums, a saxophone, a trumpet, a trombone, or anything like that, but you have the magic bag of percussion.
Oh, my goodness. And I do play piano, I am a saxophonist, and I am a trumpet player, but I've don't play any of those.
Those in any bands.
And now I am playing auxiliary percussion, and I can't even believe that. I never knew I'd grow up to play the tambourine or a shaker egg. Yeah.
Shaker eggs are great, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
Talk about the best price instrument you can go to a music store and pick up.
Amen. You can even have one in each hand.
Exactly. Well, you know, the grandkids get them for Christmas and the stockings.
See,
and,
yeah. See, yeah. You know those little coffee pods? If you shake them just right, they just sound like a shaker.
That's true.
Too.
The Keurig band.
The Keurig, yes.
And we'll call
yes.
them the K-Cups.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
There we go.
It's the next band.
All right. We'll work on it.
That'd be for little kids. It's the K-Cups.
The K-Cups. That's awesome.
That's good.
So tell us about the bands you are in right now.
Oh,
every group
boy.
That you're involved in.
Well, the first one, I was at Celebrate Church and listening to the music there. And I auditioned for that. And I was accepted onto stage to sing for worship. And that's when I actually got back into singing. I had given up singing for 13 years the whole time.
Right.
I was married and such. I didn't need to do that part of me. That part was done. That was college. That was all those things. But I got to sing on stage again. And a trumpet player here in town, Gavin Wigg, heard me singing there. And he told Kirk Wheeler, Dr. Kirk Wheeler of Do Not Resuscitate.
DNR.
DNR, that about me. And I had heard them performing at Tailgaters in 2005, and I remember opening up my flip phone and calling my brother and saying, you gotta hear this band, they're playing Chicago, a whole medley. And of course at that time there was no speakerphone, so it probably sounded like wah, wah, wah,
yeah,
you know. And I loved hearing them, and now all of a sudden it's 2011. And I get this message into my cell phone out in my yard that says, it's a text message. Hello, this is Dr. Kirk Wheeler, and I hear that you sing. Would you be interested in auditioning for me to sing in our DNR band? And I screamed out loud. I'm in the country, so nobody hear that. So that was a good thing. But so that's what got me back into singing, was that, and Gavin hearing me there at church, and all of a sudden I was on with DNR, first gig December 6th of 2011. And then from there, I got asked to sing in Power Play with Rod Jerky's group, and that has been so much fun. And then Massive Brass Attack, and once in a while I get to cover for Ellie if she can't be at a gig for Surf and Safari.
Okay.
So then I'm singing all those 60s tunes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, are they ever fun? Because everybody knows every word of their songs. And then Rod Jerky and I do a duo.
Right.
And that's where I think I saw you one time, and I remember.
Oh, you've seen us there a couple of times.
Girl from Ipanema.
You recall it. Yep.
That's your face lit up like a Christmas
that
tree.
That is a common request for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I do too.
In fact, I'll take a moment to plug another podcast that I do that I just started recently called More M-O-R.
Yes.
And M-O-R was an old radio format.
Okay.
Because it was the middle of the road music.
Oh, got it.
And it was a usually small AM local stations. It, mm-hmm. You know, they did a lot of news, they did a lot of sports, they did a lot of weather. But they still played music. It wasn't the, you know, now 24-hour talk format that anybody had.
Right, right.
So you still had music, but you had to be very careful what you played and when to not upset that particular little demographic that you were through. But Girl from Ipanema is the first place I ever heard that was when I was working at one of those in 1982, I think.
Okay. All
right. And so it's like, okay, wow. You know, because when you're 18 years old, you're thinking, oh, rock and roll, I'm going to be a rock jock and everything.
Absolutely.
And you're playing these songs that you've never heard of before.
Right.
But all of a sudden, really appreciating. And
right.
So that is a song you will hear on More M.O.R.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I love it every time you sing it.
I enjoy it.
And that's a great tune. And you and Rod make such a great duo. And
we have fun.
You know, you're talking about all the different bands that you're in, and there's such a common theme in our arts and entertainment group, community, whatever you want to call it around the Swim Empire. You're in so many of those different bands, and you all are looking for gigs, but nobody competes against each other, really.
No, not
it's
really.
Such a friendly community.
Absolutely. And we all support each other.
Right. You'll go to somebody else's and watch them perform.
Right. And if somebody is called to do a gig and they're already booked or they have conflicts, they say, hey, what about this group?
Uh-huh.
You could call
right.
this group. And we suggest one another, too.
Yeah.
So that's always, it's a very healthy environment in our music.
So I'm guessing with that and being in all those different groups, it's tough for you to name a favorite.
Oh, yeah, because they're all so diverse.
Well, and that's got to be a part of it, too.
Right, right. I mean, with DNR Band, you're playing 80s and 70s, and you're playing Celebrate Good Times by Kool and the Gang.
Yeah.
And you're doing Blues Brothers and Santana, and, you know, with all the horns and everything. And then with Power Play, you've got country, rock, blues, the pop. You have every genre practically, but then there's Rod and myself, and we do Latin, the jazz,
mm-hmm.
the blues, country, everything. So
from an acoustic perspective,
absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's so diverse, and it's so much fun because then I get to sing everything.
And the other person that's a guest on today's episode, Mike Hendrickson, he's actually a sportscaster by trade, but loves entertainment, and he has a saying, live music is good for the soul.
Amen.
And I think that is such a great thing, you know, because I've always been one that I love to hear good music regardless of its genre.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past 5 to 10 years, I feel that the entertainment has grown dramatically around this place.
In our community.
In our community. Mm-hmm. There are so many different places for people to play. There are so many groups that are getting together. It's become easily accessible for people to get their sound out there, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And downtown, you're able to sit outside. All the different restaurants in town have music on certain nights, and you're just able to listen to different groups. And, you know, now we have the Levitt downtown on the
in the summer.
Lawn there.
What
in
a
the
huge,
summer.
Huge addition that
I
was.
I know. We are so blessed here. We have all different kinds of music and performers, so there's...
Yeah, and then occasionally, you know, we'll go out and see that group, Mogan's Heroes, you know.
Yeah, that one. I guarantee you when my brother's singing La Bamba, I'm a Spanish teacher, he's not
hitting
half of them. But, you know, he puts on a great show.
You can critique him on that. He does.
You know it. You
well,
know it.
Especially when he does the big bopper and has the phone back there.
Hello, buddy.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So
they're funny. They're a good group.
They are a great time. How often do you get to perform with him?
Every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while. We put together a group he did for his daughter's wedding, and we got to play things like, oh, my goodness, Come On, Eileen.
Oh,
what
fun
else did
stuff.
We do? Hall & Oates. We did groups that you never hear. And he put together just an amazing group of musicians, and it was so fun. Bill is, he's very talented.
That he is, but you are very talented as well.
I'm just trying to keep up with him.
Do you have a little friendly competition or anything?
Actually, no.
Oh,
just,
nothing.
Like I said,
I thought it would have been
up.
Fun. Hey. I'm in 4 bands. How many are you in?
I guess I do have a beat there, yeah. But we have fun.
So What do you expect in 2020 now?
Oh,
you know, at beginning of the year,
goodness.
You know, you're still getting out and there's going to be some gigs and so forth. But what about, you know, you just mentioned summertime when you can be outside and so forth.
Right.
You get to be busy every weekend with stuff going on between all this?
Well, it used to be much more busy on the weekends, but now it's more and more becoming the duo thing, which is a nice thing.
Right.
I've just added on to my home to create a retreat to actually have groups at my own home and perform every once in a while for people. So I think
let's talk about this, because we were talking about it earlier, and this I was just going to say, hey, you know, I know you got this new venture going on with a little Airbnb. We'll let you have a little plug and so forth. This is amazing. I mean, you've got some big idea. Well, first of all, you made it big. Second of all, you've got some great things already lined up for it in terms of entertainment.
Correct, yes.
Tell us about it. What's going on here?
That just happened. I didn't see that coming. I just thought my musician friends would play and perform for people and try to bless people, do fundraisers for families that maybe that need money for something, you know, for maybe an illness or whatever. But, I added on about 3,800 or 4,000 square feet to my home. And there's 5 bedrooms with 5 bathrooms, British pub in the basement, 30 by 40, great room, and a 12 by 40 deck, a 14 by 40 concrete patio. I'm a mile and a half away from Strawbale Winery, and they are such wonderful friends and proponents of all this.
They
helped me get it going. They said, you got to do this.
Yeah, big in the art scene as well.
Absolutely. And they have such a neat thing going on over there, too. And so it just kind of is all going to group together. But my whole plan of it was actually just to house people for hospital and medical clinic treatment stays. When they come to Sioux Falls from out of town, they could stay with me for minimal fee or nothing. And then we'll Airbnb to help me pay for those people, because that's something that insurance does not cover.
Right.
For hotel and restaurant. That will break people. Let's say they've got a child in Sanford Castle. My goodness, that's a long time. And young families, they don't have that. So I thought maybe I can help with those kinds of things. There's the cancer hospital, heart, everything's here. So that's where I thought, why don't I put together my musician friends and we could do just one fundraiser on a Sunday afternoon, and that would be a good thing. That's so I'm planning. But then Rod and I had performed at the casino, and we'd also performed at the Levitt. We opened for a gal that had come from Brazil, and that gentleman in charge of some of that stuff had come out to my place, and he said, oh my goodness, you need to do some in-house concerts here. And so now it looks like some artists from the White Wall Sessions are going to be coming, and people that have done some Levitt stuff, they're going to be coming out. And Ian Alexi is actually one of the first ones coming this next Sunday, February 2nd, on Super Bowl Sunday.
But before the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, he's going to perform at 3 o'clock and then until about 4:30, and then we'll tune in to the Super Bowl and all its commercials. So he's actually coming from Minneapolis on his way down to Austin, Texas. He just did 2 shows in New York City. And so he's quite something. Ian Alexi and the Deserters. But he'll be without the Deserters.
he's deserting the Deserters.
Yes, absolutely. And he's also was part of Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank. So he'll be the first one. And then I guess David Allen is coming Sunday, March 22nd. So I can't believe this is happening. I never saw that coming.
Right.
I didn't. So it's just going to be a fun place for people to gather and spend some good quality time.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, you talk about adding on. You know, we're looking at maybe renovating something in our duplex, but that would be like painting the bathroom.
I can
live
with that.
You have 3,800 square feet.
I do design. I'll help you. I love it. It's so much fun.
What are you looking forward to out of the bands you're involved in, though, throughout the summer, then?
Oh, well,
if you're going to be doing this. Because you've really become, in addition to a great musical artist, you've become an organizer now. You're an Airbnb owner.
Right.
And putting on, well, to an extent, a festival. Or will be.
I would like to. I'd like to call that one Pam Jam.
I love it.
Pam Jam 2020.
2020.
Yes.
And you'll have to start off, because I've been saying this joke all year, if you have Pam Jam 2020, the first song played will have to be I Can See Clearly Now.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, 2020.
Yes.
Yeah.
2020. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, there we go. And then you can follow with Girl from Ipanema.
Yeah. There. I'll follow with that one.
What do you like most about music? What's it do for you?
Oh, my. It's just who I am. I didn't realize that when I had let so much of that go, becoming a wife and a mom. And I thought that part of my life was over. And then when I started doing that again, I realized, my goodness, this is my soul.
Right.
This is everything about what I was ever geared toward. Both of my parents were musical.
Mm-hmm.
My dad sang and played trumpet and piano, a little bit of piano. My mom played bass guitar, Barry sax, and sang. She and her two sisters and brother were the Don Nolte Trio out of Aberdeen, South Dakota. And in 1958, my grandma told me this story. My grandma told me that in 1958, they won the St. Paul Winter Carnival.
Wow.
Which was the talent competition, uh-huh, my grandma says, of the nation, much like your American Idol of today. This is my grandma telling me this about 10 years ago. And so they won that, and they were invited out to the Lawrence Welk Show to be regulars on the show. And they went out to Hollywood, and my grandparents looked at everything and went, oh my goodness, it's crazy out here.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do this. And my grandma said that she told grandpa, you know, we got to let the kids decide this. So they asked my mom, who was the eldest of the four, should we do this? What do you think? And she said, no, I really just want to have a normal life. I want to be a wife and a mom. And then the sister next, younger, 10 months younger, says, me too. And then the younger two, the guitar player and the drummer, said, you know, we're tired of practicing all the time in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of playing the bars and everybody's party, and we just want to have some normal high school time that's left.
Right.
And so they turned it down.
Turned down
the Lawrence Welk Show.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then, as my grandma said, then the number two Lennon sisters were hired. And the rest is history. And then my mom met my Navy pilot dad,
yeah,
who came back to farm, and the rest is history. And they got my brother and I
into
music, and it was the best thing they, yeah, could have done for me.
That's awesome. That's an incredible story.
Isn't that crazy?
Because to think, if they had been on Lawrence Welk, they'd still be on PBS almost every Saturday.
Amen. And I don't know if I'd be here, so I'm just glad I'm here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. So what were the types of groups that you listened to when you were growing up, and it kind of drew some of your musical influences from?
I can sing anything from The Carpenters, I'm sure. That's albums my mom was playing, and Franna and Tyson. And my dad listened to Stan Kenton.
My parents loved Franny and Tyshir.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God.
101 Strings. Did you have to listen to 101 Strings, too?
Probably.
Okay.
I may not have known all the names of them. We even had a John Denver album, Glenn Campbell, but we listened to everything. And my folks took us to all the community theater or community musical, community concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Up there in Redfield, South Dakota. We were in all those, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Grateful.
Well, and what do you listen to now?
Oh, my. Everything.
Good for you.
Ella Fitzgerald and who else? Count Basie and Toto, Rush, Supertramp, anything. Bruno Mars.
Well,
sing them all.
I've always said
everything.
I learned great respect for all genres when, mm-hmm, I was in high school via my high school band teacher.
Yes.
And any time that anybody ever found out I was in radio, they'd say, first question would be, oh, what's your favorite music?
Mm-hmm.
And I never wavered. I gave them the same answer all the time. Good.
Good music.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's good,
right,
enjoy it.
Yes, yeah? Absolutely. Every genre.
True. There's you can find something in every genre. Maybe there's some genres you don't like in particular, so you don't find as much.
Right.
But you have the opportunity.
Correct.
And I think that's, you know, one of the other great things we have now is that there is so much music out there locally for people to,
yes,
go enjoy.
Absolutely.
You can find almost anything, and other than, you know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, even Wednesday, the attic and associates usually has somebody on Wednesday.
Well, actually, we'll be there.
You will be.
Brad and I will be there this coming Wednesday.
Well, what a deal.
Funny you mentioned that, yes.
See, excellent. And see? We've seen you over there, too. And just so many venues and so much to take in. When you're not involved in this, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, is the fact that you all go out and support each other. So
absolutely.
When you're not performing in one of these groups that we've listed already, mm-hmm. where are you headed? What are you going to look for?
Oh, my goodness, the Haig Brothers, anytime they're performing, because they can play anything. I certainly enjoy Guilty Pleasures Orchestra and GPO. I have wonderful friends in Sugar Daddy, and they're so popular. They're a lot of fun. Just a number of them. It's always good.
What about hobbies?
Hobbies? Travel and music.
Okay.
That's about it for me.
Favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, my. Bruges, Belgium is one of my favorites. Zug, Switzerland, up on a mountaintop.
And,
different places, yeah.
World traveler.
I lived in Spain for 4 months. I studied over there. That's where my
Spanish
came
from. Well, I knew you were, I knew you had the Spanish in you, but...
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending time with the Dave Holly Hour today.
This has been
fun. It's been a pleasure. Well, I'm
thank
glad you had a good time.
Me.
I knew it was going to be great, because for those that have never seen Pam on stage, you will... It'll make your heart leap, because she has fun on stage and brings so much to whatever act she's in. So thank you for bringing so much to us as well.
Absolutely. Thank you
this
so
community.
Much.
Thank you. And
thanks, Dave.
Again, it's River Valley Retreat.
Yes.
That's north of Sioux Falls. Actual address 47291 Renberg Street in Renner.
Yes, the entertainment mecca, Renner.
That's right.
Yes. Great people. Just 3 miles north.
And it has the Monarch.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a good steak and a good drink all in one.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Yeah,
and look forward to seeing you at the Associates.
Yes.
All right.
The next game.
All right. And we're going to have more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootie provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. Oh, I suppose you've maybe heard there's this football game coming up this weekend called the Super Bowl. Now, if you recall the very first episode of the Dave Holly Hour, I said that we wouldn't talk sports very often. But we would when it also came to the fact that sports is entertainment. Mike Henriksen, my old friend, how are you today?
I'm good, Dave. It's really nice to share a microphone.
Yes, it is. It's been quite a while since we did.
It has been. Yes, it has.
It actually goes maybe in the decades. All right. But you, of course, have a sports show here in town in Sioux Falls at KWSN, but it's also on several other stations throughout the Midwest. Calling All Sports, you along with Mark Ovenden, Monday through Friday show.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are unaware of it, tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, we get interesting guests to talk about sports, and oft times we do actually talk about sports. We're not one to break down X's and O's. It's more about the people involved. Just today, as a matter of fact, we had Jim Peterson on from the Minnesota Timberwolves, but we were talking about Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. of course, with his passing. It's great fun, and it's on 14 stations, and we're coming up on 10 years of doing it.
Wow, that's great.
Well, it surprised me.
But, you know, one of the things that we, and we'll get to you as an entertainer in the past as well, the fact that you hear sports, you'll hear athletes say,
You know, if my fantasy, I'd be a rock and roll star.
Oh, absolutely.
And what do rock and roll stars say? If
they
my fantasy?
Yep.
I would love to be an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's somewhat of the tie-in. But overall, especially as you take a look at a small market such as Sioux Falls.
Right.
Okay. Look at how this city has been entertained over the past couple of decades by sports.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Was there a time frame that it jumped from just a sporting event to an entertainment event?
Boy, that's a great question. Yeah, you take a look, and even like what's happened the last few years with the Sanford International, the Champions Tour coming to town. That on the Sunday had 20, or on that Saturday, I guess, had 25,000 people gathered. There aren't many events in South Dakota that gather 25,000 people. There had never been a sporting event that had done that in one day. Boy, that's an interesting take from that standpoint. I don't know that it was. It's changed so much through the course of the years. Remember when Skyforce tickets used to be tough to get?
Right.
You know, there were years that they were winning, but you know, that was back before 200 channels and 65-inch TVs mm-hmm. and all of those things. Every place is kind of complaining about the fact that their attendance is down, even state with the great football teams that they've had and the great venue at Frost. Well, now Midco does a lot of those games, so a lot of people are saying, this is just easier.
Don't need the travel, don't need to be out in the cold.
Exactly, exactly. Am I going to get parking, which is a recurring theme with me? I have a great spot, by the way, today. This was an excellent location. But yeah, there's... I would say probably the early aughts really is when it kind of, you know, kind of became. Of course, you know, you go back in the old days, though, and you can go back to the Big B tournament where people actually came to town whether they had a ticket or not because it was just the place to be.
It was the thing for the weekend.
Exactly. And 10,000 people would jam into the Sioux Falls Arena back when it was nothing but bleachers. So, yeah, that's an interesting angle on that, though. Yeah.
Okay, but speaking of the Super Bowl,
right,
and this is interesting. I just hosted trivia last week down at the Sky Lounge and Tea.
Right.
I'm there a couple of times a month, and it was Super Bowl trivia. One of the things that we had, one of the categories, was about the Super Bowl halftime entertainment shows.
Ah.
And I was researching that, and you go back, and those first ones mostly were a college marching band.
College marching band, Up With People.
Up With People was on there five times.
Oh,
Grambling State University was in six Super Bowls.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I would not have known that.
So it was quite a while before that became the huge event that it did.
Right, right.
And then also, you know, you think about the entertainment value that has come along in the Super Bowl via commercials.
Oh, very much so. That's as much as I watch it for. As
true.
A matter of fact.
You could probably break it down to thirds. You know, yeah. One third watch for the game, one third watch for the commercials, one third watch for the entertainment at halftime.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So what do you look for when you sit there and watch the Super Bowl now and you're just looking at commercials because the game might not live up to it?
Well, that's part of it. But also, Mark Ovenden is a big New England Patriot fan. So consequently, the last several years, I don't do the Super Bowl party anymore. Because a lot of times New England is in there, and I know that I need to watch the game and pay attention to it because we're going to talk about it on our show. And we probably still will. We have to a certain degree already. But so I watch to pay attention to the game. I'm entertained by the commercials. The halftime acts are hit and miss with me. I realize that a lot of times I'm not the target audience on it, and that's fine. I used to do the grumpy old man, and I still do every now and then on Saturday Night Live. You know, who are these people? But or the Grammys or whatever the case may be. But I'm trying to get over that and just realize, okay, I'm not near as hip as I used to be. but yeah, I watch as much for the commercials. Obviously, in my line of work, I need to pay attention to the game, though. So that's why I don't do the party thing anymore.
Yeah, understandable.
So, yeah.
But you have always been a huge lover of not only sports, but entertainment.
Oh, yes.
And a a few rounds as a stand-up comedian.
Right, right, and, back in the day. Yeah.
And tell us what got you interested in that part.
Watching Johnny Carson.
Oh,
same as you.
Exactly.
Well, Dave and I are of similar age, and that was, I can remember when I was able to, you know, stay up when my kids, or when my folks even would allow me to stay up, or perhaps they didn't know that I was still up. But there's so many of those guys through the course of the years, David Brenner and Robert Klein and all of those guys. I just, you know, absolutely loved them and the different styles that they all had. That's where I became enthralled with it. And Johnny himself, who was the absolute
true.
King.
Yes.
You know, so.
But trust me, your parents knew you were up because they could hear you laughing. I remember the first summer that I got the old black and white in my bedroom.
No kidding.
Oh, wow. That was classic stuff.
That
just,
would
just
be.
Just too good.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been about the time that Flip Wilson did the whole routine about being on the train.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And here's a banana for your monkey. Some great stuff. I still watch lots of those.
I do, too.
Yeah. Because they're good to think of how comedy was.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of where it has been. And I don't know. You know, maybe it's going to return. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it might. I have a feeling that ship has sailed, though, that we're not going to be back to that. I remember the early 80s, Dave, somebody, and this isn't my quote, I wish it was, but and I can't remember who said it, but if you could have just simply, if there was a commodity called comedy back in the early 80s, you'd be retired by now, because that explosion, I mean, for crying out loud, we had, you know, comedy clubs at every airport, Holiday Inn in the country, including Sioux Falls. We had comedy clubs just popping up everywhere. Now that has gone away, and the venues have changed, but guys anymore don't need venues. They've got YouTube. They've got, you know, all sorts of other ways to deliver their comedy. So the idea of actually standing, and I know a lot of guys still do it, and there's guys here in town that do it, and some that do it very well, but the idea of going out and honing your craft in front of a live audience, that route doesn't make you a comedian as much as it used to. Now you can simply come up with a good idea, a funny idea, and basically put together a mini film, or you can go out and interview people on the street, or you can, there's 50 different ways to do it, rather than just getting up into a smoky nightclub and just honing your act that way.
Is there a smoky nightclub?
No.
Yeah. With all the laws, we've lost those.
You and I worked in smoky radio stations for
yes,
crying out loud.
Did.
The night guy's job was to empty out the ashtray from in the studio, and the ashtray was always the size of a Buick hubcap, and the night guy had to make sure nothing was still smoldering when he threw it in the garbage. So,
right, because... Yeah. Something we started off at, we're not 24-hour radio stations either.
Exactly.
And we had to pull carts.
Oh, yeah.
For the morning show.
Absolutely. You better have that ready to go.
Right. And for those of you that have no idea what we just mentioned.
Google it, kids.
Yeah, carts. Or just think, you're probably too young to even know what an 8-track was either. We'll pass.
Right, right.
All right.
Yep.
Moving on, though. So what did you enjoy about doing as a stand-up comedian?
It's what I've found that I enjoy doing the most of anything in my life, and that is accumulating people, the people that I got to meet, because most of the folks that I was performing for, I did an awful lot of corporate gigs, for holiday parties or for, you know, the company banquet and that sort of thing, and the amount of people that I got to know through doing that. It was just really, really a blessing. That's what I enjoyed. And as you know, David, there is no high like getting a laugh.
Very true.
There is no high in the world like getting a laugh. But those disappear, and the long-term things are, I got to meet an awful lot of people and see parts of the upper Midwest specifically that I maybe wouldn't have gotten to. And then I heard a bunch of good stories, and that's all served me well down the road too. So I think that was my favorite part.
Well, I remember one particular spot in your career.
Okay.
Where I
This
was,
could be scary.
Where I was emceeing a party.
Right.
in the basement of Cherry Creek, and you were the hired comedian in the other half of the basement
right.
of the room.
I'd forgotten about that.
And so I'm sitting there. At that point, what I was going through were awards and so
right,
forth.
Right, right.
And there's this uproarious laughter on the other side of the divider.
You may be enhancing that.
But all the rest of us in the group that I was with got a kick out of your next joke because we waited for just a moment when you said, we've got a battle sink. Battleship sunk in the ground. What? Like I was going to invade?
That's yes. In case Iowa attacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, that was a classic night for me.
Oh, yeah.
But we certainly had many others. And by the way, Chad McKenzie was on the show a while back.
Right, right.
And
yep.
You were his partner in the morning at Kello FM for a long time. Kello AM, excuse me, for a long time.
Yep.
And he told the story of, well, you guys basically playing Johnny Fever and Venus Flytrap. Drinking
on the air
for the New Year's Eve show.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't New Year's Eve.
Oh, it wasn't New Year's Eve.
No, it might have been. Chad may be right about that. I think it was the Friday before, okay, but
leading into the week,
right?
Okay,
but it was that was memorable. Chad just the kicker for me, and can we swear?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I thought that was the case. So
that's the difference between a podcast
exactly,
and a regular.
Exactly. So Chad, and if he told this story, I apologize. Every Friday, and that's how I know it was Friday, because we went through the entire calendar of events for the weekend. And that can be, 10, 15 minutes of reading these events. We take turns and that sort of thing, and we get to, we're getting through it. And Chad, we only have like 20 minutes left on the air. It's about 20 till 10. And Chad's reading through, and he's slurring and stuff. But he gets to the one, and I'll never forget, it was Worthing Community Theater was doing Nonsense. And Chad goes, Nonsense? Jesus, how long are they going to run that goddamn show? And that's when I went, boom, his microphone was off. And the irony of him swearing about
exactly.
Nonsense, of course, made it even funnier. But yeah, that was memorable. That was memorable.
Well, he says that you said, good night, everyone.
That may be true.
Before we move on to some other parts about
sure.
the entertainment, your radio career, give us a background where it all got underway and what you've enjoyed, what you maybe still hope to accomplish.
I've wanted to do this since I was about 10 years old. Wanted specifically to do sports play-by-play. I went to college specifically to work at college radio stations. Transferred up here to go to Augustana. Have pretty much been in the state ever since. I'm a Nebraska native. Worked in a bunch of small towns, Gregory and Madison and various other points in Brookings, which has also served me well now as I've gotten into sports, because a lot of these folks, I always get the when people hear me do sports, like if I'm doing the state basketball playoffs or the state football playoffs or whatever it may be, I've been very, very blessed to be on South Dakota Public Broadcasting and to be part of that. People are always amazed at how many people I know the backgrounds about, or their dad did this or their, whatever. Well, part of it is because I lived a lot of different places. And again, back to even talking about comedy, I got to know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, I've been able to pick people's brains and that sort of thing. My favorite story, when I gave up football, if sports has taught me anything, it's get out too soon rather than too late. I didn't want to be Steve Carlton in a Twins uniform. You'll appreciate that one. I was not going to do football that year. This is a couple years ago, and I'm in the grocery store in Del Rapids where we lived at the time, and I'm in the grocery store, and there's a buddy of mine about three aisles over, and I'm buying food. It's on the Wednesday night before the football playoffs, and he goes, are you stocking up for Vermillion? And I said, no, I gave up football, not going to do it this year. And he looks at me, and he yells, well, how the hell am I going to know who the center's uncle is? And I thought, well, that's an interesting way to look at it. But that's now doing the daily sports talk show. I've got a weekly show that I just switched over called South Dakota Sports History Show. Wrote a book, working on another one. A lot of those, that book kind of focused me into the South Dakota sports history, just simply because of the fact you can't get that stuff a lot of places other than you know, what I'm doing. And so consequently, I used to have other goals and aspirations, but I'm a lot closer to the end than I am to the beginning. Not that I will ever end, because I can't afford to do that, because I've chosen a really I've chosen a really poor paying profession. But no, I really have been very, very lucky. Obviously, I wanted to be, you know, the play-by-play guy for a Major League Baseball team, or I wanted to be Lyle Bremser, who did University of Nebraska sports back then, back in the day. But no, I've been really, really, really blessed, David. You know that.
Very true.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, then, with all the people you have met, you know, obviously it's great to know so many people locally, regionally, because they become friends.
Right.
But on a national, a celebrity type of platform, who have you met that you will never forget?
Oh, my goodness. That is tough. I always say that the two most famous people in the world, okay, most famous people in the world are the Pope and Muhammad Ali. All right? Those are, in my opinion, the two best known. Never met either one of those, so I think pretty much everybody's just below that level. I've been so lucky to actually become friends with guys like Andy North, you know, who's a two-time U.S. Open champion. To become friends with Henry Paul, and that name isn't going to mean much to a bunch of people. Henry was one of the founders of my favorite rock and roll group, or one of my favorites, the Outlaws, back in the 70s, Southern rock band. And then he had great success with when he formed a group called Blackhawk in the 90s and early 2000s. And Henry has become a good friend. There are times that when he's in the area, I don't even go to the show. I just go to, you know, see him and chat with him. But I'm sure as I look back, you know, some of the broadcasters through the course of the years, that meant as much to me as anything. These guys that I've heard, you know, on the air, or I've read their columns if they were writers. Those are the folks that really, really trip my trigger. And I'm not coming up with any fascinating names here, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, but it's an honest answer as to, you know, who you believe to be.
Right.
Because we all have different celebrities that we, you know, have as high notes.
Exactly.
For me, it was when I got to interview live, Glenn Campbell.
Oh, how cool would that
be? Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I will never forget that.
Absolutely.
And I will never forget one question I asked. I said, what's it take to have a top hit?
Right.
He says, a good writer. And I've been blessed with Jimmy Webb.
There you go.
And that, most all of his hits are from Jimmy Webb.
No
and
question.
To give credit to the people that make you a star as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing. I am so blessed because in this profession, as you know, I get to go out and be at these events, and I get to go out and meet people. There is absolutely nothing wrong with working at a shoe store, which I did throughout college, both in Lincoln and here in Sioux Falls, even in high school in Lincoln. And every now and then, interesting people would come in. But you're relying on who comes in the door. In my profession, I'm able to go out and about and be at these events. I don't have to wait for them to come to me. I actually go to them. So that's been one of the blessings, too.
And you do go to a lot. And one of your favorite quotes, I like to paraphrase, because you say
live music is good for the soul. Yeah.
And I like to say live entertainment is good for the soul.
It absolutely is.
And
absolutely.
All of that over the past 5 to 10 years in the Sioux Empire has exploded.
It's unbelievable what we've gotten, Dave. And it's not just the Premier Center by any stretch. Obviously, that has helped. But I think what that spurred also was the secondary venues, the districts and the Orpheum and the other rooms that we're seeing just have this wonderful level of the next level of entertainment. You know, folks that wouldn't even sell out the old arena. And we would, I've seen bands here in town and entertainers here in town that I never thought we would have in Sioux Falls. You know, we had Jerry Jeff Walker, for crying out loud. I never, you know, as I'm sitting in Charlie's Bar on Minnesota Avenue 40-some years ago listening to Redneck Mother, I'm not picturing myself seeing Jerry Jeff Walker live at a venue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You know, that just isn't something that I envisioned. So, of course, I had to go. But I agree. We're seeing a really nice renaissance right now of not just the big-time acts, which has been wonderful, but of the secondary level too, which is frankly, I'm a lot more interested in going to those just because I don't deal with crowds like I used to, you know. So
understand,
give me the smaller venue.
Right.
I'll take
and then,
that.
Even smaller than that, you know, some of the coffee houses
exactly.
And so forth. And,
exactly.
And the people that are playing there. And you'll see, you know, because one of my groups that I follow a lot, the Haig Brothers.
Right.
And Holiday
right.
Jam, you know, so they've got their big show every year at the Pavilion. But then they'll be playing McNally's.
Exactly.
They'll be playing Bin 201 and all these different places.
Yeah, so. It was remarkable. This summer, they were at Bin 201. And they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, up walks the Red Willow Band.
Yeah.
And because they were in town for their show the next afternoon out at Strawbale. And so there they are. And then later on in the evening, after we left, I come to find out that Corey Van Sickle and members of his band, Corey and the Fireflies, are there. Just to see those entertainers, you know, and the fact that they're willing to hang with each other and they're all friends and that sort of thing. Yeah, I think that's very cool. And the smaller coffee houses, people that we've never heard of, but you can walk in and enjoy live entertainment. I figured this out. I believe that aside from the games that I've been paid to go to, okay, I'm a sportscaster by trade, a sports talk show host, but aside from the games that I've been paid to go to, I saw more concerts last year than sporting events.
Wow.
Yeah. And I get into the sporting events free. I try to go to see State and the U and Dakota State and USF and Augustana and Dakota Wesleyan and all of the schools in the area, because if their coaches are good enough to be on with us, I should be good enough to go to their games and show interest and sound like I know what I'm talking about. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, can just sit on the radio and sound like I've gone. I can't do that. I prefer to actually go see the teams in person. And so I get passes for those things. But I've gone to more concerts. And
that's excellent.
Yeah, it has been. It's amazing how the priorities change.
Very true. As we age, and
right.
Things don't move as quickly as they used to, that's for sure.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, let's break it down one step further, though.
Sure.
I know that one of the events you used to mention a lot on the air, one act play.
Oh, absolutely.
State one act play, that's coming up.
Dave, that's great of you to actually bring that up. I just saw, and this has really come full circle, because now my daughter actually is
directing.
The one for Old Ham Ramona Rutland, and we just went and watched the dress rehearsal last night, and they are actually performing tomorrow morning. So, and I think that this is the best one that she's ever done. I think this is her fourth or fifth year of directing it. And we were really, really lucky in Del Rapids. When my kids were growing up, we moved there when Marin was going into seventh grade and JD was going into fifth. And in Del Rapids, it is okay, at least it was, I assume it still is, to be involved in athletics and the arts. It was actually, you know, you had your role models in that you saw taking part in both. And Dave, I'd go to the state one act play competitions, and I know who the athletes are in any given town. I could tell which town that wasn't necessarily okay, that you were one or the
right.
other, because I didn't recognize a single name on that cast list, you know, whereas in several other towns, yeah, it was okay. And back then, Nancy Wheeler was one of the directors of the theater department up at South Dakota State, and she would judge an awful lot of those statewide competitions. And she had a quote one year, because what happens at the one-act play festival, it's a half-hour play, and sometimes it's a play that's been cut down, or they'll do, you know, just a brief part of it, whatever the case may be. And Nancy Wheeler, and then you go in and get critiqued, and the public can sit and watch that. And Nancy actually said that Del Rapids, I'm trying to make sure I get this right. Yeah, Del Rapids is doing theater, and everybody else is just putting on plays.
Oh.
And so my kids had a great, great experience with that. And my son ended up directing one-act plays, and he went to the state actually on a theater scholarship and is still involved with the theater. And like I say, now my daughter is directing it. So, yeah, I miss the chance to go to the state one-act play competition because it's remarkable.
That
it's
is.
Just
and,
remarkable.
You know, that's also one of those because – sometimes we don't always think of the kids necessarily in great light.
Right.
That's one of those where you go, yeah, kids are okay.
We're fine.
Yeah,
yep,
we're doing all right.
Yeah, we're going to be just fine. Yeah, the one last night that they'll be performing at Districts tomorrow, I howled. And there was some great comedic timing this year for the small schools. It's comedy. And it was really, really well done. So, yeah, I'm. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're
thank you for
welcome.
Remembering
I knew
that.
I that was a passion of yours.
Yeah, it absolutely
it,
is.
It has been a great time having you.
Well,
but
thank
we,
you.
We started off, and of course I knew we were going to go off the rails, and I didn't care where this went because it was going to be good regardless.
Well, thank you.
And we brought up the fact that the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So what's your prediction?
I got to think San Francisco. I think that front seven is defensively is just too much for Kansas City. I think it'll be entertaining, though. Back to the entertainment
thing.
That's right. I do think that it will be an entertaining game. I do think it'll be tight. And but I'm gonna if I have to on Monday. By the way, I'll change my mind seven times between now and and the game. But yeah, I'm gonna go with San Francisco for right now.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Mike.
David, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me. It's always fun spending time.
Likewise, brother. All right, we will be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to this week's guests, Pam Hoffman and Mike Hendrickson, as well as Wood Grain Brewery for providing a place to record. While it's Super Bowl this Sunday, next Sunday is the Oscars. If you get a chance this Saturday, Cinema Falls presenting the Oscars-nominated shorts at the Sioux Falls Orpheum Theater starting at 3:30. Friday night, you can try your hand at abstract art starting at 6 at Creative Spirits in Sioux Falls. Robert Barrel's back at Boss Comedy Club Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. And feeling lucky about your music knowledge? Sky Lounge has Music Bingo Saturday night at 8. My first official More M.O.R. podcast is now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can learn more about it by going to DaveHollyHour.com. As always, no matter how, no matter when, no matter where, thanks for listening. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.